Sometimes old is a touchy subject. We have figured out ways, though, to soften its teeth a little bit, and the older I get, the more I appreciate some of those ways. In fact, even some of us who are not all that old can frequently be heard saying things to our children like, "Why, when I was your age..." You've used all of those before, no doubt. Walked to school, 3 miles in the snow, uphill both ways. Or in my day, we could only get 2 channels on TV. That's perhaps one of the most unheard of, unimaginable things that you could mention to the younger generation today. I think some of my favorites, though, are the quips that we've invented to sort of make fun of ourselves and our age. You know that you're old when your knees buckle but your pants won't. You know that you're old when most of your dreams are reruns. You know that you're old when you bend over to straighten the wrinkles in your socks and you discover you're not even wearing socks. I struggled with what to call this sermon, and I finally came up with, "What's with all the old people?" Now let me quickly add that before you get offended at that, particularly if you're older, and all of us are older than we were, this is not that kind of discussion. In the early 1960s, we invented a new term. It may come as a surprise to you to find out that this term is not really all that old. It's the term generation gap. You see, that term had not existed before the early 1960s because the condition known as the generation gap was not really a reality until then. It was then, for the first time, noticeably, parents and children began to have radically different ideas about life, about work, love, morals, clothing, hairstyles. It was along about that time that the Beatles revolutionized music and the hippie culture gave birth to the drug counterculture, and the Vietnam War brought on the war protest. And actually, those things had come on the scene for basically the first time ever. Nothing like those things had really ever happened before. And for the first time, 2 generations basically stood in total opposition to each other. And it was difficult, largely, to see any real common ground. Today, in some ways, those times, looking back on them, seem to be rather tame in comparison. When we consider that the world today is operating with a wider range of ages and generations than it ever has. In fact, American culture today operates with 4 distinct and very independent generations, and those 4 generational divisions often find themselves at odds with each other philosophically, morally, ethically, and sometimes spiritually. I have constructed a chart to help us understand these 4 generations, and if that large blue field you see there on the screen would stand for and represent all of American society, all of the population, basically, of the United States of America. It could be divided up into four categories based on ages or when you were born. First of all, there is the builder generation. The builder generation consists of all of those who were born before 1946 who are still alive today. Obviously, there are many people within the sound of my voice right now who are members of the builder generation. One of the outstanding traits about the builder generation is that 65% of those in that generation claim to be Christians. They are slow on computers, slow on change, big on values and integrity. The second division is referred to as the boomer generation or the baby boomers. Those that were born between 1946 and 1964 are members of the baby boomer generation. 35% of the baby boomers claim to be Christians. Baby boomers tend to be more self-centered. They are perhaps the most impatient of any of those of any other group, and they impatiently want to see their efforts change the world around them. They are very highly motivated and driven to be successful in many ways, but yet in some ways they are the most slothful and lazy of all people. What a contrast, even within the one generation. Third on the list is referred to as the buster generation, encompassing those who were born from 1965 to 1976. One interesting thing about this chart and the study that goes with it is that these generational spans, the age spans, are not necessarily all the same. Some of the generations are more narrow than others in years. That can be explained by many of the changes and the influences in our culture that primarily have so much to do with each particular generation. Of the buster generation, 15% claim in some way to be Christians. They are considered to be deeply spiritual, but they don't automatically assume that Christianity is the right path to God. They are the most spoiled financially, and they are the most starved emotionally of all of the generational divisions. The fourth division, and obviously you see that we're soon going to have to come up with another division of generations. Some are already talking about what it is to be called. But the fourth division of generations are the bridgers. The bridgers are those that were born between 1977 and 1994. 4% of those claim to be Christians. Now, a part of that, in all honesty, could probably be blamed on the fact that, well, the older ones or the younger ones of the Bridger generations are now just getting to be, what, 15, 16 years old. And so while they have not yet reached adulthood, it's probably not fair to lump them in to a percentage, such as the percentage of 4% claiming to be Christian. But one thing can definitely be identified, and that is a decreasing trend with each generation claiming to be Christians of some sort or another. The Bridgers are sometimes referred to as the anchorless generation. A high percentage of both Caucasian and blacks live in single-parent homes at some point in their development. They have grown up with parents that have not kept their promises. Their schooling and education has taught them a valueless system with no right or wrong. They are the most skeptical generation that has ever existed. Now, as you might conclude, all of this makes for a greater possibility of cross-generational intolerance and strife. Because as I've just tried to describe to you, there are tremendous differences between these generations. We see this generational intolerance and strife on every front. In families today, it becomes apparent because young people want to be independent sooner, and old people want to stay independent longer. Often strife is produced when aging family members resent or feel forced into accepting care and oversight from the younger generation. Many times, stubbornness rears its ugly head. And we do and say things that we don't really mean. Sometimes out of nothing more than resentment toward those who are younger, who don't appreciate us for what we are. In the business world, often the younger generation has the new ideas and they think they know what works best, and secretly, or sometimes not so secretly, they wish that their older counterparts would hurry up and retire and get on out of the way and stop hindering things that need to be progressing and going forward. At the same time, the older folks look at the younger folks with somewhat of a disdain and many times maybe a little bit of envy, knowing that they have forgotten more than some of these young punks will ever learn. With attitudes like that, problems are inevitable, even in the workplace. And in the church, yes, even in the church, it can be a problem. Of all the places where this kind of self-centeredness should never show up, we'd like to think that the church would be spared, but even there, some of the cross-generational intolerance and strife comes out from time to time. There is one thing that needs to be recognized for sure, and that is the fact that Christianity is not age-specific. Indeed, there are some things that are age-specific. You older folks know that there are some things that we just don't do anymore because of our age. But Christianity is not one of them. No matter how old an individual is, as long as that person is in his or her right mind, there is just as much to actively be doing for the sake of Christ as for anyone else. Serving God doesn't depend upon your age. But we're not here this evening to look at these problems. We're here to Well, we're here to answer that question. What is it with all these old people? They do have a place. And I don't think I have seen a greater number of older people anywhere who are any more interested and any more involved in the work of the Lord's church than right here at Redland Road. In fact, we're not going to spend most of our time tonight talking about the old people and their faults and their problems, but we're going to talk about some strengths and some abilities and some things that all of us, young and old, need to do to improve our attitudes and to improve our performance. And so let me make these three or four suggestions to you. Number one, remember that everybody makes mistakes. Don't make it a point to try to remember them. Let me give you an illustration of what I'm talking about. In 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 26 through 28, we read these words. Thus David, the son of Jesse, reigned over all Israel. And the time that he reigned over Israel was 40 years. 7 years reigned he in Hebron, and 33 years reigned he in Jerusalem. And he died in a good old age, full of days, riches, and honor. And Solomon, his son, reigned in his stead. I would dare say that's basically not how most of us would remember the whole story of David's life. But that's how the Bible sums it up. It doesn't mention anything there about David being an adulterous murderer. It leaves out the fact in that summary that he didn't manage his family very well at all. There is no indication there in that summary that he failed to rebuke his children when they needed his guidance so desperately. In fact, in reading that summary, you don't get any impression that he allowed any injustices under his watch. But we do know from the Bible record that all of those things that I just enumerated are true about David. And yet those are not the things that appear in the summary of his life when the Bible gives us that summary. The point is that David made some grave errors, but they did not negate the good that he did do. And so today, we'd be hard-pressed to find any older person who hasn't made some glaring errors. But in the spirit of Christianity, we do not look for and try to remember the faults of others, but rather to recognize the good that they have accomplished. That is not to say, and you understand that I'm not saying that we should turn a blind eye to transgression that needs to be corrected. That's an entirely different matter. But sometimes we get hung up in this critical mode so that it seems that all we're able to see and all we want to point out and talk about is where somebody went wrong back down the road. If we wanted to, we could pick each other apart. And the fact is, usually those who have lived the longest have made more mistakes than anybody else simply because they've had more time to do it in. It is not our purpose as God's children to keep a record and to call to memory all of the missteps and the mistakes that have been made by one another. Number two, those who have lived the longest deserve the most respect and honor. Now, I don't know how that statement strikes you on the surface, If you're like me, maybe you've got to think about that a minute. Maybe you've got to let it sink in. That sounds a little bit over the top in one way of thinking about it. Those who have lived the longest deserve the most respect and honor. Let's notice what the Bible says. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 32. You shall rise up before the gray-headed and honor the aged. You shall revere your God. I am the Lord. Proverbs 16, verse 31 says, a gray head is a crown of glory. It's found in the way of righteousness. Proverbs 23, verse 22 says, listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. 1 Timothy 5, verses 1 and 2. Do not sharply rebuke an older man, but rather appeal to him as a father, to the younger men as brothers, to the older women as mothers, and the younger women as sisters, in all purity. Times are not as they were in our land today. It seems that fewer and fewer younger people are being taught to respect their elders. It's kind of unusual these days when you hear a lot of yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. And that fact kind of goes against my grain. The lack of respect, the lack of respectfulness among younger generations is something that surely all of us regret very deeply. It is God's will that age be respected. I could point out many things that have been said and done by people here in this congregation that stand as a sterling example for those who would follow the instruction of Scripture in honoring and respecting those who are older. The widows and widowers banquets have been a tradition for many years around here, and I have never seen anything that does a better job of showing honor to those who are older. The fellowship meals that we enjoy together are sometimes especially meaningful to those who are older and to those who have no young families. And it surely joins a long list of things that help us to draw closer together as a congregation of God's people. The fact is, those who have lived the longest deserve the most honor and respect according to God's word. Number three. Lifelong experience makes for good examples and good leadership. You know, most of us have a lot to be thankful for, and we'll see it more clearly if we'll take a minute to think back to all of those things that we've learned, all of the influences that we've grown up under by those who are older. Great knowledge comes from the storehouse of our elderly men and women. When a congregation of God's people works together like I believe this one does, it makes a better place for all of us to grow stronger. It gives our younger people something and someone to look up to. It gives our older people something and someone to look to for encouragement and strength. The benefits are legion of living as God's children together in a church setting such as this. Number four, young people need to learn patience. Yes, we surely do. We surely do. It's not that we always have to make allowances. as we sometimes say, well, he's just old. Or she's getting on up there in years. Implying that there's something special you have to do or something that you have to tolerate. Sometimes that comes into play as an issue, but that's not the point that I'm really trying to make. The fact is, one day we'll all be old, and one day we won't be able to move as fast. Things won't taste as good. We'll look back, and we may remember how impatient we were with the older folks. I'd like to close by reading to you from Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 1 through 7, which is a very interesting passage and would deserve an entire sermon's time in discussing. But I'd like to read it to you from one of the modern translations, which puts it in very plain and in some ways graphic terms. It says, "Don't let the excitement of being young cause you to forget about your Creator. Honor Him in your youth before the evil years come when you'll no longer enjoy living. It will be too late then to try to remember Him when the sun and light and moon and stars are dim to your old eyes. There is no silver lining left among your clouds. For there will come a time when your limbs will tremble with age and your strong legs will become weak and your teeth will be too few to do their work. And there will be blindness too. Then let your lips be tightly closed when eating, when your teeth are gone. And you will waken at dawn with the first note of the birds. But you yourself will be deaf and tuneless with quavering voice. You will be afraid of heights and of falling. A white-haired, withered old man dragging himself along. Without desire, standing at death's door, and nearing his everlasting home as the mourners go along the streets. Yes, remember your Creator now while you are young, before the silver cord of life snaps and the gold bowl is broken and the pitcher is broken at the fountain and the wheel is broken at the cistern and the dust returns to the earth as it was and the Spirit of God, the Spirit returns to God who gave it." As graphic as those terms are, there's some good counsel there for all of us, and especially for those who are not as old. Every day brings new things, changes, and challenges. And some of those challenges are rather daunting even when we are young. And when we grow older, some of those challenges grow greater and greater. And it is for us who are young to honor and to lift up those who are older, to learn from them, respect their example and their leadership, to honor them. And it is for us who are older to be conscious of those who are looking at us for our leadership and for our example. Those who need to see our wisdom. Those who depend upon us to chart the unknown. If you're subject to our Lord's invitation, we invite you to respond as we stand and sing.